Hi, this is Daniel Garber, the movies for CulturalMining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. Long before pole dancing and Pornhub, ecdysiasts plied their trade in show business across North America. These women performed their acts on stage with live music, costumes, and comedians. It was known as burlesque and produced stars in its own world, known for their songs, dances, and good looks. Burlesque reached its heyday in the 50s and 60s before finally taking its last bows. But now, the original dancers are performing together again at a special Las Vegas show honoring inductees into the Burlesque Hall of Fame, a veritable league of exotic dancers. The League of Exotic Dancers is also the name of a new documentary that had its world premiere at Hot Docs. It's directed by award-winning Toronto-based filmmaker Rama Rao and features the original burlesque stars. And I'm very pleased to have Rama Rao here with me, along with the Canadian burlesque Grand Beaver, Judith Stein, and Camille 2000 here in studio to tell us more about life as an exotic dancer. Hi, Rama.
Hi. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. Hi, Judith.
Hi.
Thanks for coming. And hi, Camille.
Hello.
Great to hear from you. So, Rama, why did you choose to make a film about burlesque?
I love burlesque. I love the old vintage glamour that the world has. And I think there's so much we've lost ever since it's faded away. So when I heard that the women still perform, that they were legends, and that I could actually meet them, I said, you know, this could be a great film. And I think it really relives the glamour when you see the show again in Vegas. And I'm so happy that I discovered it myself.
And Judith, you're originally from Woodbridge, Ontario, and you were a hippie and a feminist in the 60s. How did you end up doing burlesque?
I was going to school at the University of Oregon, and being a Canadian student, I ran out of money, of course, and they offered a job called Topless Go-Go Girls, No Experience Necessary, so I could work at night and go to school during the day, and I sort of had a little bit of feminism. And then I went, well, wait a minute, I burnt my bra already, so that's not an issue. And away I went. And as I was a go-go girl, I was mentored by some of the strippers and the burlesque stars that would come through the clubs. And they encouraged me to go and get all the accoutrements of being a stripper, and away I went.
And how about you, Camille?
How did I start? I started on the carnival, Amusements of America, and when the season was ending for the carnival, they said there's a burlesque theater in Miami Beach where all the carnies go to. So I went that year for Leroy Griffith, and he hired me, and I did what I had to do, had photos and wardrobe because I wanted to become a star in the business. And it took me about a year, and then I got an agent, and I became a star, and I traveled all over.
Great. Now, feminists hold two different views. Some say that it objectifies women for the sake of men, and anyone who works in the sex trade is a victim. Whereas other feminists would say that it's a source of empowerment doing this, and it also is a way to become a financially independent woman when there was no other way to do that. So I can guess which side you fall under, but maybe you guys can talk about it.
I will address it. It was a way. We were paid well. I was given an education, not only in going through school, but also a whole different culture of people, way different than Woodbridge, Ontario. And as far as I'm concerned, I became a feminist so I could own and be supported of owning my own body. And so therefore I took it to stage. If anyone, I've had people who have said, you know, derogatory things to me, and it's like, you know what, you weren't there. You know, I walked my path.
And Rama, you give a very positive view of this aspect of the sex trade.
Yeah, and I think that, like you said, women had such few jobs, and I think sex trade is something that I don't think people who are outside of it can label it. call it what you will, I think women have to have power over their own bodies. And I think these women really showed that. And today's generation look back, and I think we are freer because of that. And I think today's feminists owe these women so much. And to me, that's very, very powerful. And we need to know about that.
So, Rama, in the film, there are very diverse subjects, very diverse characters. What is it? I mean, and just looking at you two, Camille and Judith, you are very different from each other, yes, as well, right, from one another. So what is it that ties them all together?
I think in a film like this, I wanted to show the broad spectrum that burlesque was. It's not like I went out and said, oh, I'll have one African-American and one Caucasian. It's not that at all. But I wanted to show a cross-section of the kind of women that were there. And I think each of the women have their own dimension. They add their own dimension to the film. Like, I think of the film as a multifaceted gem, really, where Camille was the super strong, you know, she's out there, and I love that. I loved the way, how articulate Judith is. Kitten brings her own sexuality, and, you know, the porn star, you know, Russ Meyer. So I loved each person's contribution to the film and to burlesque. And to me, that in itself comprised the total history of burlesque in those days.
So, Judith, maybe you can tell me, what was it like the first time you appeared on stage and took your clothes off? Or some of them.
The first time is when I auditioned to be a go-go girl. And you had to, your audition was that you danced to two songs. The first song you danced with your clothes on, and then I think it was like your bra and panties. And then the second song, you had to take your bra off. And it was like, and I got through the first song. That was cool. And I can remember the song. It was Darkness, Darkness Be My Pillow by The Doors, I think.
Wow.
And the second song.
You stripped to The Doors.
Hell yeah. Wow. I was a hippie kid. And then the second song was Maria Muldaur, Don't You Feel My Leg. And I had to take my bra off, and it was like, and I couldn't, you know, my head was just rolling. It was just rolling. It was like, okay. And finally, I took off my bra, and it was like, and I was like, this is great. You know, I'm free. And it was, there was that moment of saying, I've stepped through the last boundary. I've stepped through the next wall. And away I went. And after that, it was great. Yeah, and I enjoyed it.
And how about you, Camille?
Yeah, I first started in the business and on the carnival.
How old were you?
I was 22. 21, actually. And I was 22 when I became a headliner. And I went to New York City and got photos and got wardrobe. And because I wanted to become a star when I got in the business, because they made more money, they had private dressing rooms.
Okay, so speaking of costumes, I noticed that, well, stripping seems to be, for the audience, for the men, it's take off the clothes so we can see what's underneath them. But for all the performers in the movie, it was, what are you wearing on top of it? Could you talk about the costume?
I'll address that. The costume was basically you were presenting a character. And everyone had different characters. Camille did a Marquis de Sade. I was more comedic. I did a 50s rock and roll. I did cabaret, that type of thing. So when you stepped on stage, the costume and the music set the character. And that's how would that character remove her clothes in a provocative way? And everyone has a different way. And again, you know, with the garter belts and the stockings and the bras and the gloves, it was like, I get the sense that men kind of really like lingerie. Mm-hmm. And they like to visualize that whole, and they can sit and they can visualize without having to act upon it. It was nothing but a fantasy. They didn't have to perform.
Interesting. Now, sometime in the 70s or maybe as late as the 80s, burlesque started to fade away and was taken over by strip bars. Why? What happened? Why did it die?
First of all, I can attest to Canada. Canada had, and Toronto was a Victory Theater. And
where is that?
Where?
Yeah.
Down on Jarvis Street or someplace.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was an old burlesque house. It's been there forever. And there were a couple of strip clubs. But what started happening was every little town and every little beer parlor, because it was a good way to bring in the guys with the lunch buckets at lunchtime, right, would start having strippers. And it was, again, being a Canadian stripper, that's when we downsized our costumes, because it was, you were dancing on four coke cases and a piece of plywood, basically. But it was fun. And so then there weren't enough accomplished, experienced strippers to go around. So, but the club owners wanted flesh on the stage. So they basically were hiring kids off the street. And it was like, you were supposed to be doing 20 minutes. Well, these kids were like, they didn't have any costumes. They'd run out of clothes. And next thing you know, they're on their backs, naked, and being very explicit. And so that's, and then we had the famous ping pong girl. And look it up.
yeah.
And so that's sort of where it went. That's sort of where it went. And that went along. And like everything, it played out. It was done. And now it's gone back to more of a club scene for the kids that are working now.
So, Rama, I understand you had your start learning the movie business in Mumbai.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see any parallel between Bollywood and burlesque?
Absolutely. I think the love of costume is what drew me to this, because I love the fact that they have a persona that they put on stage. And I knew that in the film, I wanted to explore both the onstage persona and who they are at home, which is why I followed them back to their homes and got the real stories. And we also had a all-female crew, because I think women speak to women in a different way. And I really wanted to get that side of it, the real woman, you know, like Kitten says, yes, I had breast cancer. And she's never going to admit that if there's a man, if there's a male in the crew. So for me, that was very important to get the real stories of the women.
She got our secrets out.
Yeah. She drug some things out of me. I was shocked. How did you know that?
And finally, what do you think is the biggest difference between burlesque and stripping?
You make money stripping. You don't make money at burlesque. Now. Yeah.
Well, there has been a revival of neo-burlesque, which has a very different feeling from stripping. Could you give me your thoughts on that?
The kids that are stripping, okay, and I was a stripper, okay, it's a job. You're working 5, 6, 7 days a week. Yeah, and you're traveling, you have contracts, you have agents. The kids in burlesque are mostly hobbyists. And so that's the difference. And, you know, they get paid, depending on the town or the situation, quite minimally, right? And they're sort of nice girls that are trying on being bad for a while.
Hmm.
I also think the difference is that burlesque, there's a story, and stripping, you just come on and strip, you know? There's no act. There's no performance.
I
disagree with that now, because what I'm seeing with the stripper kids is, the working strippers, is a lot of them have been working burlesque on the side.
Mm.
And so they're bringing more of an act and burlesque into the strip clubs.
Mm.
And so there's a group of, especially the Canadian kids, are just really taking it apart. And they're doing it great. I'm so proud of them.
So burlesque is the art and stripping is the craft?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Very good. Thank you so much for talking to me.
Thank you.
Director Rama Rao and Burlesque Hall of Famer Judith Stein, as well as Camille 2000, new documentary, The League of Exotic Dancers, is opening soon in Toronto. This is Daniel Garb of the Movies each Friday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturalmining.com.